the branch is not ready. The branch is not ready. Come on. We could not appear beautiful and glorious. Verse 2. Under the conditions of verse 1. At the moment. The way we are. Come on. Give me a nod. Say, yep, you're right, Ebar. Some changes have to be yet made. We've got to be able to find the difference between what God is and has said and is commanding us and what men, society, governments, groups, social peers, pressures, morals, ethics. Some ethical principles and morals are really going to shock you when you study what David did and got away with. He was a man after God's own heart. I can't believe it when I read some of the things the guy did and God was blessing him right along. Come on, do you see what I'm driving at? Because there was a difference now. See, I've been trying to find favor with God by what I did. Because I was raised under the gospel of the circumcision, a mixture of law and grace. And I'm eventually going to have to give not the gospel of the circumcision, but the gospel of the uncircumcision, which is pure grace. And get out of the law and into pure grace. And when I get out of the law into pure grace, then I'll be able to adapt to chapter 4, verse 1. But as long as I'm still under the gospel of the circumcision, with touch not, taste not, handle not, rules, laws, traditions, commandments, judges, statutes, ordinances, oh my, you know, on it goes, I'll never make it. I'll never be a part of the branch. Because I will never be beautiful and glorious. Now let's go to find out what makes me beautiful and glorious. It's in Philippians 3:9.
Which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith.
What made me righteous? Well, it was not my own righteousness, because my own righteousness is of the, say it, law. You've heard, have I said this four different ways on four different nights that I've been here on Friday night? Have I said the same thing? It's the law that's keeping us from entering into the Huios, the manifested sons of God. Because when we were youngsters, children, we needed the law. But as we mature, as many as are led by the, they are the Huios, manifested sons of God. But we still want to be led by the law because we're not grown up, we're not mature. But my righteousness is of the law. So I began to whitewash my sepulcher. I made clean the outside of the cup. I tithed of mint and cumin. I appeared in sheep's clothing. But inwardly, you see what I'm driving at? That's Phariseeism. That's false prophetism. And it makes me think that my own righteousness is going to cause favor with God and get me rewards from God because I have shined up the outside of the candlestick, the cup, the sepulcher. You remember all these parallels, don't you? All right. But it's not even, hold on to your hat. If God would leave me a little something and let me say it was my faith, at least I would have claim to something for righteousness. But that even says it's not even my faith. But my righteousness is by the faith, not in, but of Christ. And that wipes me out altogether. It's not even my own faith, but the faith of Christ that makes me righteous. Now, if Christ has the faith that I am righteous, am I righteous? Well, it's very obvious that I'm not righteous in my soul or body. but I am perfect in spirit because Jesus entered my heart. And every reference to the salvation that Jesus brought to my spirit is past tense throughout the whole Bible. Every reference that Jesus brought is a past tense salvation. But every reference to the Holy Spirit is working on my soul and is present progressive tense. So I'm not righteous in the soul, but I'm becoming righteous because it's present progressive. I am righteous in my spirit. I'm perfect. If I die, my body goes back to dust, Ecclesiastes 12:7. But my spirit goes back to God who gave it in the first place, not my soul. But my spirit, because that's the part of me that's saved, my soul is being saved, and my body is going to be saved. But it's not going to be saved with a present situation of the way my head's screwed on. So again, the Holy Ghost. And the purpose of the Holy Spirit is to receive with meekness the engrafted word, which is able to save your soul. Written to people who are already saved in their James 1:21, but needed further salvation in their soul. So he said to me, seek glory, seek honor, Romans 2:7, and seek immortality. Are you with me? I've got to see. I've got to do it. I've got to overcome. And why do I have to overcome? That brings me to the end. I'm running out of time. I'm going to jump a scripture or two and go to point five. Go with me to Romans. Why must I overcome? This is the hardest part of all. This is the hardest part of the lesson. You've done well. Stretched. I've been watching you. I've been watching who could stretch. I'll try to stretch just a little more. I don't want your rubber band to break. And if it starts to break, yell ow and I'll quit. 11:1. Romans 11:1. I say then, hath God cast away his people? God forbid. Absolutely not. For I also am an Israelite, the seed of Abraham, the tribe of Benjamin. God hath not cast away his people, which he foreknew. Wot ye not what the scripture saith of Elias, that's Elijah, how he maketh intercession to God against Israel, saying, Lord, they've killed thy prophets, dig down thine altars, I'm left alone, and they seek my life. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. Nobody knows my sorrow. Oh, woe is me.
That's another woe. That's a new word.
But what saith the answer of God unto him? I have reserved to myself 7,000 men who have not bowed the knee to the image of Baal. Even so then, at this present time, also there is a remnant according to the election of grace. I'll hit the election of grace in a minute at the end of the chapter. And if by grace, there's no more works. Otherwise, grace is no more grace. But if it works, then it's no more grace. Otherwise, works, no more work. Selah, pause and think of that. Figure that out if you can. What then? Israel hath not obtained that which he seeketh for? But the election hath obtained it, and the rest were blinded. According as is written, God hath given them the spirit of slumber. Eyes they should not see, ears they should not hear, unto this day. And David saith, let their table be an edge, a snare, a trap, and a stumbling block, a recompense unto them, that their eyes be darkened, that they may not see, and bow down their back always. I say then, have they stumbled that they should fall? God forbid! But rather, watch it, through their fall, salvation is come to the Gentiles for to provoke them to jealousy. Do you remember in the book of Acts when Paul was in the synagogue and they rejected him, cast him out? He said, I'm turning from the Jews and going to the... Because you hard-hearted, stiff-necked Jews. And the gospel went to the... And if it hadn't have been for their failure to accept it, Paul would have stayed with the... And we'd have never got it. You follow this? All right, now let's keep going then. In Romans 4, and Romans 11. Now, at the fall of them be the riches of the world, and the diminishing of them the riches of the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? For I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am apostle of the Gentiles, I magnify my office. If by any means I may provoke to emulation them which are my flesh, and might save some of them, for if the casting away of them be the reconciling of the world, what shall the receiving of them be but life from the dead? How's that for a resurrection? How's that for a rapture? Life from the dead. For the first fruit be holy, the lump's also holy. If the root be holy, so are the... Now there's going to be a branch. There's going to be a rod and a branch. It's going to come out of the root of Jesse. And if the root's holy, so are the branches. And I've been trying to make myself holy, and I'm already. But you see, I'm not. But I am. Oh, wretched man that I am. Because I am perfect in my... But I'm being made perfect in my... And the glory of the Father will, after my soul is perfect, inhabit these physical bodies. And then there'll be a light. How's that for a candlestick? Over these bodies, because these bodies are the branch, the candlestick. Have I proved it to you over and over and over again? And that light's going to shine on our physical bodies. Some of the branches be broken off, and thou being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them partakest of the root and the fatness of the olive tree. Now what was I showing you a picture of over here? An olive tree with a golden pipe. Boast not against the branches, but if thou boast, thou bearest not the root, but the root thee. Thou wilt say then, the branches were broken off that I may be grafted in. Well, because of unbelief they were broken off. And thou standest by faith. Be not high-minded, but fear. For if God spared not the natural branches, take heed lest he also spare not thee. Behold, therefore, the goodness and severity of God. On them which fell, severity. But toward thee, goodness. If thou continue in his goodness. Otherwise, thou shalt be cut off. They also, if they abide not still in unbelief, shall be grafted in, for God is able to graft them in again. For if thou wert cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and wert grafted in contrary to nature into good olive tree, how much more shall these, which be natural branches, be grafted into their own olive tree? For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. And so, all Israel shall be. Oh, no. That's another mistake. Just cross that out. You're going to leave it in? Then we're going to believe it. All Israel shall be saved.
What verse you got?
26. As is written, watch it, there shall come out of Zion the Deliverer, and shall turn away the ungodliness of Jacob. Did Jesus come from Zion? Come on. Did Jesus come from Zion? Now, just a minute. Where was he born? Bethlehem. He came from Bethlehem. Where was he raised? Nazareth. He only got to Zion 3 times a year. He made visits to Zion, but he didn't come out of Zion. Many saviors, plural, shall come from Mount Zion. Obadiah 21. Isn't that what it says? A plurality of saviors, Obadiah 21. He's wise who saves a soul, Timothy. Well, I thought only Jesus saved. Jesus saves what? Spirits, hearts. But a multiplicity. Saviors, plural. shall come from Mount Zion. Because Zion is peace. And the council of peace shall be between them both. For this is my covenant unto them when I'll take away their sins. That's concerning the gospel. See, don't mix this up now. This is different. They're enemies for your sakes. But as touching the election, they're beloved for the Father's sake. For the gifts and calling of God are without repentance. For as ye in times past have not believed God, yet now obtain mercy through their unbelief. Now watch this next one. This is one you can't believe. Even so have these also now not believed, that through your mercy they may obtain mercy. Well, I thought that they were going to obtain mercy from the cross. I thought they'd get mercy from the blood. I thought they were going to get mercy because they were baptized right. That's not what this says. Out of Zion shall come a Savior, Deliverer. Turn away the ungodliness of Jacob. Did Jesus turn away the ungodliness of Jacob? Come on now. No, sir, he did not. But out of Zion shall. Because there's a multiplicity of Saviors who've got to be saved. These are called the body of Christ. And they'll never get anywhere unless Jesus Christ first saves them. And then they follow him as the pattern son. And he becomes the elder brother. And they actually come out of Zion, out of peace. And they bring righteousness and judgment and justice and mercy. Because by your, say it, mercy, they shall obtain mercy. And so I studied this to try to figure out what this could mean. And Jesus said it like this, Matthew chapter 7. So all of the law and the prophets are fulfilled this way. What you would that men do unto you, do also unto them, for this is the law and the prophets. And then he immediately goes into false prophets in his explanation. The golden rule. So if we're going to give justice and judgment, we're going to have to obey the golden rule. And that means that we have to put ourselves in the other fellow's shoes. And when I was up in New England, I saw sign along one of those gift stores, and it said, "Don't judge a brave until you've walked a mile in his moccasins." Is that okay? Do you follow what I'm driving at? I may not have a quote right, but so now we've got to judge by standing in the other fellow's shoes. So now I want you to be the judge. Everybody get ready to be the judge. Put on one of those big, long, curly wigs. You got it? Put a black robe around you. Curly wig. You got it? Stand there. Hit the... Okay, now you're a judge. And up before you comes a guy, and he is as guilty as sin. You know he's guilty. He knows he's guilty. You got the picture now? Now give him judgment. Go ahead and judge him. Shall we judge him with Moses' law? Well, Jesus had many opportunities to judge with Moses' law, and he said, "Neither do I condemn thee. Go and sin no more." What's righteous judgment? Stand in his shoes. Now make your plea. So you've got to be both places now. Now you're guilty. Make the plea. What's your plea? What? Well, all right, you can say guilty, but that's... I knew that. Give me your plea. What's your plea? What are you pleading for? All right. What are you going to have to grant? There you go. In the last days, the only sentence that can be granted is mercy. But we can't do that. How about society? Why, we let that rapist go, you know, and all those kind of, you know what you're thinking, but no. You see, by then, we'll be able to do like Jesus. Say, neither do I condemn thee. Here, take this. Go and sin no more. We'll have something to give them. Do you see it? They'll have the power to overcome and not continue in that. But right now, all we can grant is throw a stone. Come on. That's the only way we judge right now is throw a stone, right? Moses' law said, God said, hang them. See? Okay. Now let me try to finish up this way. For God hath concluded them all in unbelief that he might have mercy upon all. Oh, the depth of the riches, both of the wisdom and knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. For who hath known the mind of God and who hath been his counselor? Or who hath first given to him and shall be recompensed unto him again? For of him and through him and to him are all things. To God be the glory forever. Amen. I beseech you, therefore, brethren. You know, I'm the next chapter right now. By the mercies of God, that you present your, say it, physical bodies, holy, acceptable to the Lord, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world, but be transformed in your body by the renewing of your minds. Because there's not going to be any mercy, there's not going to be any full salvation, there's not going to be any manifested sons of God coming from Mount Zion, until you've gone through all three salvations, the salvation of your spirit and your soul and your bodies. Because all creation's groaning, waiting for this manifestation. And we've had the first fruits of the Spirit groan within ourselves. Who had the first fruit of the Spirit? Peter, James, and John, all those guys. Waiting for the adoption, to wit, the redemption of our bodies. For we're saved by hope. You know I'm quoting right now from Romans 8, don't you? The body salvation is not by faith, it's by hope. Now the spirit salvation is by grace and faith. The soul salvation is faith and works. But the body salvation is by, say it, hope. And they were hoping for the body salvation. That's why Peter said, I have been saved in my spirit, being saved in my soul, but I cannot be saved in my body. I'll be taken where I would not, even the Lord has shown me. It's expedient. I've got to write this for you quick because I'm about to depart this body. But Peter said, there is reserved in heaven an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled that fades not away, salvation or deliverance ready to be revealed in the last days. A further revelation of a further salvation, a further deliverance, and it's going to come when? The last days. Does this take away from anything from Jesus? Absolutely not. It makes our salvation full and complete. Because I'm convinced God is interested in this whole man. See that man right there? See that lady there? I believe that God is interested in the whole man. That's why he said in 2 Corinthians, I want your spirit and your body. But he didn't say anything about your soul. Because we have what we call a carnal mind. So he said, I'm going to get rid of your carnal mind and replace it with the mind of Christ. And then I'm going to put my glory in your physical body. Then you can be that many-membered body, called the body of Christ, coming from Mount Zion. And by your mercy, all Israel shall be saved. Can you see it? It's staggering. All creation has been groaning for this manifestation. You know I'm quoting right, don't you? Romans 8. Not only they, but we, which have the first fruits, are waiting for this redemption of our body. And by faith, my, time would fail me to tell of all those great men of faith. Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, David, Samson, Jephthah, prophets. All these wonderful men of faith. Having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. Well, I thought they got the promise. But they received not the promise. They'd already gone back with Jesus up to heaven. It says they received not the promise. God having provided some better thing for us, that they, who's the they? The guys that have gone on, without us, cannot be made perfect, whole, complete. Well, wherefore, seeing we're surrounded by the great cloud of witnesses, let's run the race. Not following for the sin that does so easily beset us. Because when we win the game, they win the game. When we make the touchdown, they get the point. We're all on the same team. And all creation is groaning for this manifestation. Whether the creation is on the field, that's alive, or in the stadium. Cloud of witnesses, that's stadium spectators. Literal translation. There they are. Right now, I'm carrying the ball. I'm on the field. I'm playing the game. They, in the stadium, recited a poem to me. In Flanders Fields, the poppies grow between the crosses row on row. To you, from failing hands, we throw the torch. Be yours to hold it high, that freedom's light shall never die. The same basic idea, you see. Now, what's it saying? They dropped the ball. They threw the torch. And somebody grabbed it. And who's got it right now? You've got it. You're carrying it. Don't drop it. Never say die. Fight it. The last enemy is death. There's going to be a group that's going to be alive, remain the coming of Christ. And they're going to overcome the last enemy, which is seek glory, seek honor, and seek immortality. Well, immortality is overcoming the last enemy, which is death. And immortality is always referring not to the spirit of the soul, but to the body. And it says to seek it. But see, my father died a year and a half ago, but nobody ever preached that verse to him, seek glory, seek honor, seek immortality. Why? We find no fault with former generations, but there is a generation going to be alive and remain, the coming of Christ. And that generation is going to hear a lot of preaching on living and not dying. For 2,000 years, the church has taught us how to die. How about teaching each other how to live? There's a generation that's going to be alive. There's a generation that's going to overcome. And how about talking it up? You see, if I'm wrong, you haven't lost anything. And it sure is a neat way to live. I believe this is the last generation. Now, I'm not a prophet of doom. Good things. I believe I'm talking to some people who are going to overcome the last enemy. I'm talking to some people who are not going to die. I believe that. With all that is within me, I wouldn't have come here. I'm talking to some people who are going to overcome the last enemy, which is death. And they are going to be manifested sons of God. Joined heirs with Christ. They're going to rule and reign with Christ for 1,000 years. And Jesus said to him that overcometh, will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Now you think of that for a minute. That's the throne of God. Now some people believe in what we call Trinity. Other people believe in oneness. How many have heard that argument? Some people believe in the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, and some people believe that it's all Jesus. Well, I'm not here to settle your argument about that, but I'm here to tell you that I used to subscribe to one then the other, and now I don't subscribe to either. I don't believe in the Trinity anymore, and I don't believe in oneness anymore. I believe in the quartet. Because I believe in the manifestation of God as the Father, as the Son, as the Holy Ghost, and as the body of Christ.
For a free catalog of Bible teaching cassettes and books, send your name and address with zip code to David Ebal Bible School, 102 Park Terrace,